Charlotte Soccer Show, Danny Brams here, and that is not John Hayes, my friends. Welcome, Tifos. That is Kevin Egan of Apple MLS Season Pass, the host of MLS 360, the host of MLS Wrap-Up. One of the greatest voices in American soccer, but he's not American. He's an Irishman. And Kevin, welcome to Charlotte Soccer Show. Welcome back for your second appearance. We appreciate it.
Cheers, Danny. What a great time to be talking Charlotte. And I am very much American, by the way. Mom from Chicago, dad is from Ireland. So 50-50, half the family in the United States.
My bad. Dual citizenship may come in handy here in the next few years.
It always does.
I've got my Summit coffee and I'm ready to go. So let's get into it. I'm really excited to talk about Charlotte FC, upcoming matchup this weekend. But obviously we got to start, Kevin, with what you're doing with Apple MLS Season Pass. And I mentioned the shows you host. I told you in our as we were getting ready to record here that I consider MLS Wrap-Up appointment viewing. If I go to a Charlotte FC match, then I want to I'll probably catch it the next morning, see everything else that happened in the league. If I'm watching the Charlotte FC on the road while I'm here at my house, if I'm watching on Apple TV, before I go to bed, I got to catch the wrap-up, see what happens. Because there's been a lot of surprises in this league as the season's getting started. Tell us about what you love about hosting that show now for the second straight year.
First and foremost, thank you for the kind words. That means so much that you consider it appointment viewing. We hope that with the discussions we're having, you know, breaking down all the highlights, obviously, as well, that people will look at it and say, that's something I want to keep in touch with each and every week. Maybe it's a Sunday night live. Maybe it's a Monday afternoon. It's the show record for us for the week. So if you want to catch it on a Thursday before the following week's action to get a little refresh, perfect. Go and do so. The thing I love about it the most. All right, let's see. Order of priority here. Number one, my colleagues. Hands down, Bradley, Wright Phillips, Sasha Kleshin, Dax McCarty on Wrap-Up are a joy. Kaelin Kyle as well on 360. We are like family. We're like family in the sense that we could fight like cats and dogs and also laugh and hug it out and have fun. We have a great time together. Then I love the league right now. I just love everything about Major League Soccer. I've been part of broadcasting MLS since 2012. Actually, funny story for you. My first ever MLS broadcast was in Charlotte. There's one for you.
Do tell.
2012. Why would I have had an MLS broadcast in Charlotte? Well, here's the thing. It was Montreal's inaugural match in the league. Their home opener, the Olympic Stadium. Jesse Marsh was the coach of Montreal, taking on the Chicago Fire. But we didn't have, whether it was the budget or whatever, for whatever reason, we broadcast the Chicago game, the Chicago broadcast from the NASCAR studios in Charlotte. I'm not sure why. I'm still not sure why, but I remember it was St. Patrick's Day of 2012, and it was a 1-1 draw in Montreal, but it was my first taste of Charlotte, and loved it. So listen, 360 and Wrap-Up for me, it's such an honor to be doing those shows each and every week, and I couldn't love it anymore.
I love it. And we're going to play, speaking of Jesse Marsh, I got a clip to play of him in just a second, so we'll give that a little teaser. I did go digging through your social media a little bit, and I found this photo. Yeah, will resonate with some Charlotte fans. You can see Lloyd Sam there on screen left, and looks like you and some of the 360 crew were in North London over the off season. You went to Tottenham Arsenal. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it was a great trip. Myself, Brad, and Sash. First of all, we jumped over to Dublin, Ireland, where I'm from. We stayed with my mom and dad. Yeah, Brad lost rock, paper, scissors with Sasha, so he had to sleep in the kids' bunk beds. And Sasha got the spare room. I was up in the attic, and we had such a ball in Dublin. We got a tour of Croke Park, a private tour. We were out kicking a football on the field and pucking a slitter on Croke Park, which is a legendary Irish stadium. Then we went to Brussels, over to Belgium, where Sasha Kleshin, by the way, is a legend in Brussels. You can't walk 5 yards without a local running up saying, Sasha, please, photo, Sasha. And Brad and I, we loved seeing that, because when Sasha goes to Yankee Stadium or he goes to Red Bull Arena or he goes to LA Galaxy, he's booed everywhere he goes. They love to boo him. Whereas over in Belgium, they absolutely love the guy. So that was fun. And then we went to London, to Brad's home, to North London Derby, and had an absolute ball with Lloyd Sam joining us as well, whom Charlotte fans absolutely adore.
I love it. Yes, Lloyd's a great guy. Had the chance to talk to him a little bit over the years, and we've loved to see him kind of come up from the Charlotte level up to doing more and more national commentary. Because I always said, even when he started at Charlotte in 2022, I was like, this guy could be a national voice, and I think it's really cool.
I think he's so unique, though, Danny. Like, and I agree with you. I think he's absolutely national. Lloyd has something special in that there's no replicating Lloyd. He is himself. He doesn't try to be anybody else. So often broadcasters will say, oh, I really like, maybe it's John Strong or John Champion, and they try to figure out ways to be a little bit of both. Lloyd is himself. And I think Lloyd is box office. I think Lloyd needs to be on camera more. I think he's a, I think he's just someone who you could give him his own show and it's box office. You know, I think he's top class.
Yeah, he started off calling as the booth analyst for Charlotte FC games in 2022, and I said from the beginning, like as soon as I started hearing him talk, and I would tell Johnny, I'm a producer in my day job. I produce college football shows for ESPN, nice. And I said this guy needs to be in the studio. I mean, he's good in the booth, but he would be great in the studio. And I've seen it on Apple TV ever since then. So we love to see that.
Gotta give a shout out to my boy Eric as well. Eric Cracker, a dear friend of mine too. Dear friend,
he's a great dude. He's still working with the club. Yeah, he's doing ambassador stuff with the club. He has been for a while, and it's been awesome to see both of those guys. You mentioned Jesse Marsh, and I have a clip I'm going to play from a recent show that you guys did of Jesse Marsh, and I want to know what it's like when you're hosting and you have someone who maybe doesn't really want to play along with the game. You've got a game you do called Start Bench Cut, which you can sort of an extrapolation from a famous schoolyard game that might be known, better known as FMK on these parts. But here's the clip, and then we'll get your reaction.
I was going to get to this a little bit later on, but let's just do this and take care of business right now. We play this game with our guests late on in MLS 360. So let's do it with you. If you had to start, bench, or cut Sasha, Dax, or Bradley, who you got?
I'm not doing that.
No way.
Like, come on.
We're having some fun. I love them all.
Jesse. We're not letting you off the hook.
Sam today. I love Lloyd Sam today, too. That was awesome. What do you got for me, Dax? Go ahead. What do you got?
We got to do start, bench, cut. And listen, any parameter you want to use, if you want to explain it away in any way you want, you got to do it. Everyone plays the game.
I wouldn't bench or cut any of you. I would start all of you.
Jesse.
Honestly, well, that's not true.
That.
I would.
I love you guys.
Sorry, Jesse.
I loved you guys.
You've done it before. You've done it. Get them out of their misery and just tell them the answer.
That's a great clip. I mean, what a time. What's it like to be on the set when guys are just cutting up and cracking up like that?
It's fun. It's just like we're in our living room having a laugh. Jesse Marsh obviously loves Sash, Brad, and Dax from their time together. They had a very successful team. And Supporters Shield winners in 2015, I believe. And he's just a great guy, Jesse Marsh. Wish him the best with Canada, obviously, tonight in action this evening against Mexico. And it's always fun. We have late guests on MLS 360. It's kind of the MLS after dark couple of hours. Weekend, again, we only have two games at 10:30 p.m. Eastern time. So once it gets to that hour, things lighten up a little bit. We've got, you know, a special guest. It'll be kind of a secret leading up to the show, and there'll be a special guest join us. Maybe someone's had himself a day. You know, we were trying to get Patrick Adjiman to join us late, but it was a little bit too late, especially after scoring, you know, on St. Paddy's weekend as well. Yeah. We tried to get Paddy on. Well, hopefully we'll get him on again.
Yeah, I mean, call Pat. That's what we say around here. Yeah. You know, when you need a goal, call Pat. So I'm surprised. I'm going to have to talk to my people in the Charlotte office and say when MLS 360 comes calling for Pat, you guys you can answer the call for sure. But I love that clip. I do think it's interesting. You got there's a lot of Red Bull. There's a Red Bull heavy flavor to that desk. And I mean, I guess that kind of is nice because it helps with the chemistry. But yeah, Red Bull's a team. I don't know if you know this, but everyone else in the league freaking hates the New York.
Maybe that's why these guys are getting booed everywhere they go. But here's the thing. I mean, come on. Like these guys have played. They've covered 11 different teams in the league. Yeah. Like Dax was captain in Chicago. He was captain in Nashville. He played in DC. He played in Dallas. Like Sash played for Chivas USA. Sash played for the Galaxy. He played for Orlando. Bradley played with LAFC in Columbus. So I think it's great when you have a game like El Trafico, and we've got guys that played for the Galaxy and LAFC, but they're both somehow associated with the Red Bulls. Maybe it's just because they did have a very good team together. If they were on a really poor team, no one's going to remember that. If they all played together on, let me pick a team that one of them were on, like Sash never did anything with Orlando, okay? I don't even know if he made the playoffs with Orlando. I don't think he did. So let's say they were all on Orlando together. I don't think people would be bringing it up. I really don't. If they all spent a year together at Orlando, they were 2 years together total, but they covered 11 teams in the league. And then beyond, you know. Bradley's had a good career. He played in the Premier League. Sash, three straight titles with Anderlecht and played in the Champions League. So it's just funny how people gravitate toward that. That's okay.
Yeah. Well, there's just something about those Red Bulls, man. Yeah. Something about those Red Bulls that people love to hate. The last thing before we get into some Charlotte FC talk, I would love to hear your thoughts on the expansion of MLS windows across the Apple product. I think that's something that fans were calling for a lot. When the first year of Apple hit, and even in the second year, it was kind of a like, well, this is great to have a one-stop shop, but everything's jammed into 7:30 Eastern, and it's if I go to a match, then I really can't watch any other matches. Now I think Apple's done a good job of responding to that as far as there's more early games on Saturday. There's the Sunday afternoon games. And then there's the special Sunday night soccer window that's even in front of the paywall that allows people to come in. Yeah. How has that been, seeing more broadcast windows for MLS?
Well, it's been beautifully received from within too. I mean, and this comes from the host of MLS 360. And selfishly, I want as many games on in the 360 window as possible. But as a fan of the beautiful game, I want to be able to sit on my couch if I can and watch a game if it's midweek, for example. And if I'm at home and studio's not needed, or, you know, if there's a Sunday afternoon game and I'm not in yet, I'll get together with maybe a Bradley and we'll watch the game together in the hotel before we head in. I think we need those windows. As fans, you don't want to go to the Charlotte game and miss the majority of the action, 90% of it. You want something to look forward to on your couch on a Sunday evening. And Sunday night soccer is that. I thought the Atlanta-Miami game last week had a real blockbuster feel to it, with the greatest of all time playing Atlanta with their $50 million attack. There was an awful lot to be said for it. The revenge mission for Messi in Miami after they were sent packing by Atlanta in the playoffs. There was a lot to it. This weekend, Austin is Sunday night soccer as they welcome newcomers San Diego, who are unbeaten so far. Yeah. Austin have a $30 million attack that needs to click soon. So I think that's going to be an intriguing game too. And like you say, I just think it's welcome. The more windows, it's not the more windows, the better. I think there's a right balance to it all, because I do think there is great value in 360 for a fan that doesn't necessarily follow every single storyline. You can tune into MLS 360, and it's my job to make sure that when you watch that, you come away thinking, okay, I could go meet up with friends and talk about the league in an educated way and understand what's going on in Cincinnati or understand what's going on with LAFC. And it's a lot of fun, man, to put these games together, but then have those other windows on a Saturday afternoon. Like, we've got Atlanta taking on Cincinnati, I think, at TQL this Saturday afternoon, and then the Sunday games too. Well played to Apple and Major League Soccer. I think they've struck a really nice balance so far.
Yeah, the way I always said is I love the concept behind 360, and I like to watch 360 as well. I think at first it was trying too hard to be like an NFL red zone channel, where there's a lot of thing, and NFL is a sport where there's event based, you know, things are happening. Yeah. There's first downs, there's touchdowns. Yeah. Whereas with football, you know, you want to watch a little bit more of an extended sort of series of possession and flow. Yeah. And things like that. So I think you can get by with a wraparound show like 360 with fewer games, because you want to take longer looks. Whereas True. With NFL, it's like, we're going to check in here. You don't need to move quite so quick with 360, and you let it develop and breathe.
That's a really interesting point you make. I'd never really thought about it like that. Certainly I had compared it to the NFL, and you're right. There's downs that you say, all right, we got to go there, but we've got a few seconds to get there. We're not in a huge big rush. Whereas I could be talking about something on one game, and my producer will get in my ear and say, quickly get to Dallas. Lucho Acosta has a free kick in the edge of the area. We want to go there live. And, you know, it's a lot of fun bouncing between games, and, you know, the suspense of someone like I have to cut them off. It's what I do. I don't necessarily like cutting them off saying, Brad, I love you, but we got to go. But there's a lot to be said for that, because we do want to keep up with the action as well. And one change we made this year, which we listened to the fans on whether it's social media, message boards, there was a big debate over whether we should do a goal alert or whether we should do like a key play alert, which we're doing now. So we're not necessarily telling you there's been a goal. It could be a red card. It could be a striker hits the post. It could be a goal. But you know, when it's a key play alert, it's something of significance and you need to watch it.
Yeah, and I think that's a great change. I think it helps build the suspense for sure, because, you know, I'm more likely to go, if I hear that there's a goal, I obviously want to see a goal. But if you tell me it's a key play, I'm like, then I'm even more intrigued. I'm more curious.
Yeah, so that's interesting. Okay, I like
love it. Love all the changes. Love the growth. I think if next time you're in one of those meetings, say, hey, how about a Friday night window also? For those of us who are, you know, maybe a little older, don't have quite the social life that we used to going out every Friday night. It'd be nice to have a Friday night MLS game. So,
okay. All right.
Just a thought. Bring it back. But let's get into Charlotte FC now, because the crown is looking better than ever. We're very happy here in Charlotte with everything that we've been seeing from this team. Dean Smith is at the – we say Dino's at the wheel. I'll pop up this. This is my favorite graphic that I always like to use on the show. Dino's at the wheel. This is from – preseason last year out in Coachella, that epic, iconic look. And we always show that. But maybe even better than the Dinos at the wheel graphic right now is this Eastern table graphic that shows Charlotte FC in the top four. And but for a lost opportunity at Miami playing against 10 men for 45 minutes, if we could have pulled that win off, we'd be sitting at the top, or even with the point of the draw, we'd be sitting tied for second. So what do you like? What do you have you seen from Charlotte FC this year?
So coming into the season, I felt that Charlotte would be a top four team in the East, maybe even a top four team in the Supporters Shield. Here's the thing, though. I didn't think we'd see this after four games, because Charlotte started the season tougher than anyone else.
Yeah.
To have to go make a trip to Seattle, make a trip to Miami, and then welcome Atlanta and Cincinnati. Those are four of the best teams in the league. They should be on paper four of the best teams in the league. Mm-hmm. To come away with 7 points from those games is surpassing expectations. Would you agree with that? Do you think at 100%. This point in time, 100%. Dean Smith Charlotte has surpassed the expectations, meaning that when a San Jose comes to town, back-to-back home losses, this is a chance for Charlotte to feast. And this is arguably the test for all of us to see. Can Charlotte put a team to the sword? Can they really devour a team? Can they show a ruthless streak that will make us believe that this team can become a champion? And I think it's really important that Charlotte go out there this weekend and make a statement, even though, look, it's difficult. It's not an easy week. International break, MLS is playing, and Adjiman and Tim Ream are away. But it's a big-time chance. You know, San Jose are missing key pieces as well, like a Joseph Martinez. So it's just a chance for Charlotte to go out there and do their best to absolutely get 3 points, but do it in a way that's going to make the rest of the league go, wow, the crown are here to stay.
Yeah, we talk about the impact that Dean Smith has had. Bruce Arena, obviously an MLS legend, has had a similar impact. They do have the two straight home losses, which makes them look a little wounded coming in, and they have to fly across the country. It's the first ever meeting between these two clubs. They did play in preseason last year in Coachella, I believe. And it is going to be tough without Adjiman. It's going to be tough without Tim Ream, just because Adjiman, there's depth up front for Charlotte. I think Idan Toklamadi, the young Israeli striker, winger, combo player, he's looked great in all his subbing in. He's been playing about 20, 25 minutes a match through these first four, and he's had some chances, had a header that could have scored against Cincinnati. He had one off the post against Miami that should have equalized, but he beat the keeper but couldn't beat the post. He had the last touch on the ball that led to the Yamar own goal against Seattle that earned a point in stoppage time. So Toklamadi, I think, can fill in for Adjiman. I'm a little more worried about who will fill in at left back for Tim Ream. There's a new signing from the Belgian league, Suleiman Doumbia, who should be ready. We don't know. I'm going to have to check in. Dean Smith gives a press conference later today that I'm sure he will be asked about availability. So we'll know a little bit more there. But yeah, I think you're exactly right. San Jose, if I call up the West table here just to see where San Jose, you know, that's probably higher than some expected them to be after four matches. So,
well, I mean, they had the worst defense in the league last year. They conceded 78 goals in Major League Soccer, worst defense of all time, 31 points, I believe. So they will be probably 20 to 25 points a better team this year, I would guess. Bruce Arena is going to be a success. He has gone there and he's convinced ownership to spend and to recruit the right players. It's just going to be a tough time for them. I think they're going through a little bit of a teething phase right now with Bruce and making sure that they're all aware of what he wants and what he demands from them. It's a chance for Charlotte to go out and make a statement. The one thing I'll say on Charlotte is, as high as I've been on them, I've found it a bit of a relief, if I'm a Crown fan, to see how they created chances against Cincinnati. Because you think of the Miami game. You're up a man for 60 minutes of football, right? Starting to get sent off in the 38th minute.
Yeah.
And then you don't create a shot on target in that time. That's not good enough. But then you see a play like this. You see the goal against Cincinnati. Milanda, Pep Biel, Ajima. It's a beautiful move that's only going to inspire confidence about how this team is going to play. And I did say to the guys on 360, I posed a question that when the opposition teams double up on Wilfried Zaha, it's got to be, you know, a case of, all right, guys, Pep Biel, Leila Bada, you guys have to produce now. Paddy Adjiman, you got to take up more space up there, run the channels, draw more attention, and take some pressure off Wilfried Zaha. And I think this front four has the potential to be a serious unit and one of the best in the league. This is just such a good goal from Patrick Adjiman. A tremendous goal. Charlotte could have easily gone out and spent on a DP9, but Dean Smith said, I've got the confidence with Adjiman. And I always think, like, back through the years of Dean Smith at Brentford and at Aston Villa and different teams, he always led with a strong number nine. You know, Tammy Abraham, Ollie Watkins, Las Vibe back in the day. Like, he's got his style of soccer. And as we look ahead to this weekend, you think about Bruce Arena and Dean Smith, two guys that are probably, I would say, two of the best man managers in the league, right? In terms of, like, getting the best out of their human beings that are part of the group. And maybe they don't get enough credit for the tactics, because when I ask about Bruce Arena, the guys that played for him go, I don't even know what his secret sauce is. Dak said this on Wrap Up recently. He said, I don't even know what it is. He just finds a way to get the best out of people. But Sir Alex Ferguson was similar. Very simple formation, 4-4-2, you know, but found the best way to connect with his players. Dean Smith and Bruce Arena and certainly Sir Alex Ferguson are much better tacticians than they get credit for. Carlo Ancelotti the same way. People say, oh, well, he's not a tactical genius. Stop it. You're embarrassing yourself saying things like that. Carlo Ancelotti, just because he's such a great man manager, shouldn't take away from his tactical nous that you clearly see in games. And Dean Smith is so savvy tactically. I think he's one of these coaches that if you could sign him, and we're seeing of a new contract now for Dean Smith, but if you could sign him for another 10 years, you do the deal now, because he's the type of guy who you build around. You think of other sports like, you know, Krzyzewski or Bob Knight, you know, you think of great American coaches in time. Who comes to mind for you? Pick an American coach that's been at a team for an awful long time. Greg Popovich, for example.
Sure.
Dean Smith could be that guy with Charlotte.
Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh Steelers, you know?
Yeah. There's no reason why you should chop and change every few years. And Charlotte have been so used to change since the beginning. Now I'm sure for you guys, it's such a relief to have such a good coach and such a good person at the helm of the club.
Yeah, the stability is great. I'm a huge fan of Dino. I'll call this one up also because I love it. This was me meeting Dino last year at the supporters meet and greet. And the guy, you weren't supposed to take individual photos. There was a security guard kind of like looking at everybody. You weren't supposed, but I snuck one in and grabbed him real quick. So, and that was a couple days after I had been at the press conference, and I told him that the team looked boring in the 2-0 loss at Orlando in the final.
Yeah, you were honest.
Final 6 weeks of the season, and you know what? He listened to that, and the team that actually sparked the team to perform much better down the stretch and secure that playoff spot. So we love Dean. I love the high praise. That's really appreciated. I'm sure all the Charlotte fans listening to this show are going to love to hear your thoughts on Dean. And I also really love the vocabulary word there, the nous, you know, like, yeah.
Send
some people looking to to the encyclopedia there for sure.
But honestly though, Danny, if you were to think about a power ranking of coaches right now, where is Dean Smith in the league? Like, you have to have Wilfried Nancy right up there. I don't think Mascherano's done enough yet, obviously. It's his first full-time head coach job beyond the 20s. Messi,
right? Yeah.
Dean Smith is right up there. There's an argument to be made for Greg Vanney, even though the team has started so poorly. They've 1 point from four games. Obviously, there's an argument to be made for Steve Cherundolo. But for me, Wilfried Nancy is number one. Mm-hmm. And after that, I think it's probably... You could certainly make the argument for Bruce Arena as well. I think that this meeting this weekend between Dean Smith and Bruce Arena is a meeting of two of the best coaches in the league.
Yeah. What just on that topic, what do you think about what's going on in Vancouver with Jesper Sorensen? They've
outstanding.
Really, really nice.
Just really quickly on this, because I need to jump on a soapbox for a second. Everybody should be talking about Vancouver. This team does not get enough credit. Four games, four wins, as you can see here, plus seven. But here's the thing. That graphic that you've just shown me here, Danny, doesn't tell you that they just went to Monterrey and they knocked out Rayados in their backyard, Monterrey side with, Yeah, Sergio Ramos is a little bit older, but Sergio Canales, Oliver Torres, Ocampos, the Argentine international, and then they've got Bertarame leading the line. They went there without Ryan Gold, with Brian White on the bench. What they're doing right now under Jesper Sorensen is next level. And this comes at a time where there's rumors of the team being sold and you know, that brand new head coach. They don't bring in any blockbuster signings. I'm just blown away by what they're doing right now. In terms of surpassing expectations, there's a great conversation around who is number one, and I think it's Vancouver or San Diego. But then who has the greatest sticking power to be there or thereabouts at the end of the year? And that's when Charlotte come into that conversation for me, because I think Charlotte have surpassed expectations thus far. Charlotte, for me, have the greatest sticking power to be in the top four in the East when it's all said and done. I think they will. I think they will.
Well, that's a clip that we will definitely be coming back to. And you know your audience well, Kevin. So thank you. I appreciate that for sure. And I am impressed by what Jesper and everyone's doing in Vancouver. Brian White, he started on the bench, came in and scored off the bench against Monterey to help them get that advancement. But I'll take Dean Smith. And I think most of the TIFOs listening to this show will definitely take Dean Smith. So very cool stuff. If you got a couple more minutes, I got a couple more topics for you. I just want to talk Messi briefly, because he is the GOAT and because in your preseason picks, you picked him to be the league MVP. What do we think of him? He's played sparingly. He scored a nice goal in Atlanta, but then looks like he popped something here on this play, and he's going to miss some time. He's not being available for Argentina in this international window. Where are we at with Messi in 2025?
It's where are we at with Messi? I'm watching that game thinking he's still the best player in the world. I'm blown away every single time I see that. He's 38 in June. It's a slight adductor injury from what I understand with Messi, and he'll miss some time. Hopefully he's back soon. I know, like, people looking at the schedule for Miami, like Chicago fans, he's yet to play in Chicago against the Fire. So Fire fans are hoping that he will play and he'll be back fit and healthy for that. What he's doing is just unbelievable. And what I love the most, if I'm honest here, is when I watch Mascherano on the line and I see Messi and Suarez and Alba and Busquets, they care more than ever. Like, it's like right now, they're losing their mind at times at referee decisions or at a teammate or at an opponent. It's not like they're sauntering through the motions and they don't care. And we can see that through their body language. We've been there with superstars in the past. We've been there with massive names where you're looking at them thinking, don't really see it. Pirlo was a classic example. Watching him on the field thinking, and I love Pirlo, absolutely love him. I've got his book up here somewhere. Pirlo is one of my favorites. And I was so disappointed when I saw him in the league. Steven Gerrard, another one. Yes. And they found MLS really difficult to adjust to. And they were very open and honest about it. And they were criticized for, I remember Steven Gerrard said, it's just when you get here that you truly feel the exhaustion of the travel, whether it's the altitude or the snow or the heat. You know, there's an awful lot of factors in MLS. And people said, well, you were supposed to know all that. But there's one thing knowing it, and there's another thing experiencing it. Like anything we do in life for a very first time, you don't know it until you experience it. And Messi's come here, and yes, he'll have some rest, as he should. I'm one of the first people to be like, stop. People that criticize him over this, there's other teams will rest players, especially when they're nearly 38 years of age. This isn't young. It's just that Messi and Ronaldo have normalized this. Ronaldo's 40 years of age and still banging in the goals, and he's currently with Portugal for an international game. It's absurd, but they've normalized the extraordinary. And I think Messi's performance is here worthy of MVP in 2024. And I think he'll do it all again in 25. And he's going to round the corner toward another World Cup here in the United States, Mexico and Canada with L'Albi Celeste. And I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I think it's easy to take for granted, but as football fans, we're lucky to have lived in the era of Messi and even Ronaldo, who I'm not a huge fan of, but I get what you're saying.
It's 38 in June. 38. Like, this business, oh, Messi's not playing today. I'm like, he's 38. You know, I'm 39, and I just got back from the gym, and I'm in bits. Like, you got to give him, at some stage, you got to give him a little bit of a break. Suarez, I guarantee you, will get some time off soon. You know, it's just one of these situations. Maybe they're going to try and bring in another striker. I think their only backup right now is Leo Afonso. And while their depth is great, I think they do need a little bit of help up front. But these guys, what they're doing in Miami, right, they've brought a competitive edge to that team that's getting the best out of the Noah Allens and the Yannick Brights in that team. It's been really, really cool to see. And I think Miami could actually break the record that they set last year of 74 points.
on that note, what do you think of Zaha's adjustment to MLS? He's come over and looked really good in through three matches. He's got the newborn baby back in England, so he traveled to England like right after the game. I believe he's back in training now at the end of this week. He should be available for Saturday by all reports. That could change after we tape this, but as of now, we're expecting him available for San Jose. What have you seen from Zaha real quick?
I think he's got great fashion sense and great personality. I honestly, he did an interview on Countdown, and I think some people would view that and go, oh, wow, he's a little bit subdued, isn't he? I thought it was box office. I loved every second of it. And then he had fun with Bradley about Brad's rap against Yannick Bolasie back in the day. Bolasie's one of Wilfried Zaha's best friends. And I thought he was a great personality on that show. Then you look at him on the field and he's as competitive as ever. And I think he's going to be, and he already is, a firm fan favorite. But we've yet to see anything close to the best out of Wilfried Zaha, because he is some player. Like, what a coup. To get a player of his level at, what, 32 years of age is a phenomenal achievement, and it doesn't happen without Dean Smith. It just doesn't. That Dean Smith connection, to be able to have a chat, the level of familiarity and understanding of, say, the Premier League, and I've come here to America, and here's what I want from you, and here's what you're going to get in return. It says an awful lot. When you have a coach that can recruit like that, it makes a massive difference. And I think he's only going to make the players around him better. Think of what he's going to do for some of the younger guys as well. It's going to be great. I'm excited. And he's easily top five, if not top three, must-see players in MLS.
Yeah, he's already made an impact in terms of, like, saying, being not afraid to yell at the teammates. He said called it having a go, constructive criticism, but shouting it. You know, he's already had a couple good sound bites. And I totally agree. I think he is a little subdued, but when you notice him, when he talks to press, it could be just media training that he's had coming up in the game, but he's very thoughtful. He doesn't just give off the cuff answer. He takes a question that's given to him and he thinks about it, and then he answers it very thoughtfully. And
but isn't that great? Danny, isn't that great when you ask someone a question and they take a moment and pause? It shows a level of intelligence that you're not getting the media trained regurgitated answer.
Right,
you're getting something a little bit more methodical, and I would rather take that pause and maybe his form and style of answer any day over, you know, some media trained robot who's going to churn out the same answers over and over again.
Yep, totally agree. Well, you've been so gracious with your time, Kevin, giving us a half hour here plus, which we really, really appreciate. I got one last thing that I just want to go out on, which is a nod to the Irish side of your heritage and your culture. I want to talk briefly about Gaelic football, hurling, the GAAs of the world. And there's actually a Charlotte Gaelic Athletic Association. You are very involved with the Atlanta Gaelic Athletic Association. When I traveled to Ireland a couple years ago, I toured a GAA ground. And this is just a different sport, but you can see this is the home sport of Ireland. And tell us a little bit about Gaelic football and your involvement.
Well, I would love to be a lot more involved in Atlanta Youth GAA and Atlanta GAA. It's just being gone, you know, weekends with the job means that I miss out on the games and training. And my kids go every Sunday morning to Atlanta Youth GAA, and it's all voluntary basis. You know, there's no real money coming in at all. It's a game that is very parochial in Ireland. Every small town has its own Gaelic football or hurling team and club. You know, you could be in the local church on a Sunday morning in Ireland and the priest will read out the results from the day before. It's just very, very community driven. And it's our biggest sport in Ireland. Like, the top players in the country that play in front of 82,000 at Croke Park on All-Ireland Final Day, they're back in work, whether they're bankers or teachers or you know, doctors, nurses, whatever. They're back in work the next day. They don't earn anything from this. It's just, it's an unbelievable sport. The largest amateur game in the world, I believe. And I just love it so much. My dad was a Gaelic footballer for Dublin back in the 70s, and that's how he met my mom. They traveled, they won two All-Ireland titles, and they traveled the US and they met in Chicago. And I've always played Gaelic games growing up. It was my number one love as a sport, to be honest, was Gaelic football. I tore my ACL playing. I had hoped to play for Dublin one day. That was my big dream. And I tore my ACL when I was 19 and then turned my attention to TV at the time because I knew I was going to be out for the year. And then, yeah, the rest is history. I just got working in TV and I've gone from there. But it's such a wonderful sport. If you have a chance to go and check out Charlotte Gaelic Athletic Association, or Charlotte GAA, as we'd call it. I'm sure you'll love it.
Yeah, the Instagram handle is there. There's tons of videos and information there at Charlotte GAA. There's an Atlanta GAA if you're watching this, if the Kevin Egan fans out there are watching in Atlanta. So, Kevin, I can't thank you enough for everything that you've been able to share with us today. Always a pleasure to have you on here. Always a pleasure to hear a great Irish tongue on the show. And Johnny's going to be pissed that he missed this one, but I'm sure he will be watching it back with a giant smile on his face. Thank you so much, Kevin.
Danny, anytime. And go on the crown. Best of luck with you guys this year. You're having a great season so far. And like we talked about, I can see it sticking this year and Charlotte for a home playoff game at the end of the season.
I'm going to have you send us out. Our catchphrase here that we like to end each show on the show is "For the crown, baby." So send us out, please.
All right. For the crown, baby.